Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial membership, and it comes with a free audiobook. Just go to audibletrial.com/Brady Bros, and you can browse their unmatched selection of audio programs, download a title free, and you can start listening right away. Seriously, guys, it's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/Brady Bros.
Hello and welcome to the Brady Bros Boston Sports Podcast, where we cover everything in the Boston sports world. My name is James Brady, and alongside me, my brother Nicholas. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. Today is Monday, February 3rd, and this is episode 44. Intro music.
No icing. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
And we're going to start off today's show, as we always do, with the Boston Red Sox. The biggest thing that has happened recently has all been surrounding Mr. Mookie Betts, who, first of all, apparently the Red Sox are in like pretty heated trade talks with the Padres and the Dodgers. We'll get into that later, but this man, we have no clue what he's going to be doing next year.
So Mookie Betts, over the offseason, after signing, what was the thing? I already forget like what the thing he just signed was.
I don't know. The highest deal in arbitration history. It's like $28 million for the next year.
Arbitration. That was the word I was looking for. Prior to signing that one-year extension or whatever, Mookie Betts was reportedly offered 10 years, $300 million from the Red Sox, which, those of you not good at math, $30 million a year. And again, I don't think we have confirmation of this. We have reason to believe, but again, it's one of those things that, like, we don't exactly know what was said in like trade talk or contract negotiations, whatever. Mookie apparently countered with 12 years, $420 million, which is an average of $35 million a year. And if you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of money, that is extremely similar to one Mike Trout's contract, who is signed for 12 years for $426.5 million.
Yeah, and I mean, you're looking at, it's not surprising. Mookie Betts, we know he was going to be paid like one of the best players in the league, and that's what he's asking for. That being said, 12 years, $420 million, I don't think the Red Sox will go for that. I don't think a lot of teams will, honestly. I do see him landing, I think he'll get that length of a deal. I just don't know that he'll get that much money. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with him between now and the start of the regular season. Assuming he is playing for the Red Sox this season, the end of the season, he hits just free agency. And he's going to, I feel like he's going to go to free agency. He's going to go out.
I think he's already explained that he will go to free agency pretty much no matter what.
Yeah, and there's nothing saying that, like, if the Red Sox offer the best deal, he won't take it. But he'll go out and get paid for sure. I don't know that it'll be to the tune of 12 million or 12 years, $420 million. But like you said, comparing to Mike Trout's contract, making roughly the same as Mike Trout, making a little bit more if Mookie gets his proposed contract. The only player in the MLB other than Mike Trout that would be paid more than Mookie Betts if he gets that contract is Gerrit Cole, who's currently on a $324 million contract over 9 years with a $36 million a year average annual value. And I just want to throw this in here as a quick comparison to another player of similar caliber. Was the MVP of the NL when Mookie was the MVP of the AL. And Christian Yelich is going to make a base salary of $12.5 million in 2020.
He's still in Milwaukee, right?
Yes.
It's interesting to me because baseball is literally only sport where you can sign this length of contracts because not the day-to-day, but the overall wear and tear on your body is less than, you know, football or hockey or that type of thing. For those of you who like stats and everything, I'm just going to run through quickly because comparing Mookie Betts to Mike Trout, because Mike Trout's kind of our only baseline for what a huge contract is in the MLB. I mean, minus Garrett Cole's, but it's kind of a different because he's a pitcher type of thing. So quickly, I'm going to run through some stats comparisons. Keep in mind, this is from 2016 to present day. Mike Trout's been in the league since 2011, and Mookie Betts has been in since 2014. But I wanted to compare the years where these two, like prior to them signing their huge deals, because these are the years that are going to influence most. Stats that don't matter. Mookie Betts is a World Series winner. Mike Trout isn't. Now, Mike Trout has three MVPs to Mookie Betts' one. Mookie Betts has four gold gloves. Mookie did not win Rookie of the Year. Trout did. Trout has been selected to four more All-Star games than Mookie. Mookie's been selected to four. Again, these are kind of stats that do go all the way back from Trout joining the league. But if we go down into the actual, you know, hitting stats, so over these past, 2016, 17, 18, 19, 4 years, Mookie Betts has 50 more games played, about 500 more plate or 400 more plate appearances, 600 more at-bats. And I didn't know there was a difference between a plate appearance and at-bat because Mookie Betts is different. Do you know the difference between that?
I did not. That is news to me.
Maybe it's like if someone gets thrown out or like caught stealing or I don't know. Or maybe he gets pinched. I have no idea. Trout is batting at a slightly higher average at 307 to Mookie Betts' 305. Mookie Betts has got 150 more hits, 50, 60 more runs. Trout has got 30 more homers than him. Mookie Betts more RBIs, less strikeouts. Mike Trout more walks. So just a couple of – they're very close. If you want to look at this yourself, it's MLBcomparisons.com. If that type of thing interests you. But I got to say, just scrolling through here, they're very close in a lot of categories. There's very few that are different. I would say the ones that stand out the most are kind of the home runs and maybe the strikeouts. Trout tends to strike out more and, you know, hit more home runs. He's a little bit more of a power hitter than I say Mookie is. I'm not taking away from Mookie's power or anything, but very similar. So I can see from a statistical point of view, why Mookie Betts would want to be offered kind of the same, almost the same exact deal as Mike Trout.
Yeah, and I don't know if you have it here, but do you have their WAR in like their, like, call it the last 4 years?
Yeah, let me hold on. Let me
wins above replacement, because that's like that's a very big stat nowadays for comparing, you know, how good players are. And though it's not entirely relevant, I just want to see how they stack up.
From a fielding point of view, Mookie, way more innings, almost 100 more games, same amount of errors between the two of them, 9 each. Mookie Betts more assists, Mike Trout more double plays, but I don't see WAR on here, which is odd because that's usually like the go-to.
The go-to stat.
Awards and honors.
All right, well, we can move on from that if it's not there because we got more stuff to talk about.
Keep going. I'll see if I can find
it. Got it.
Wins above replacement. So again, for the last 4 years, Mike Trout 35.6, Mookie Betts 33.8. So again, very close.
Okay, so pretty close. Yeah, so I was going to say, it makes sense the money that Mike Trout's getting paid because he is the staple in the Los Angeles Angels organization. Like, he will be there probably for the rest of his career, and he's the man. Like, every team has that one or two big contracts, but how the Red Sox are set up, they have their money really spread out between, you know, deals with Price, we just paid a lot, Bogarts, we paid a lot, David Price, we paid a lot. And I'm not saying it's not worth it because those are some of the best players in the league right now, but to throw like Mookie's contract on top of that, it just seems like so much money that it doesn't seem feasible. So where I stand on it, I'm going to do two things here, then I'm going to ask you to do the same. One, what I think is going to happen, and two, what I would like to happen. So what I think is going to happen, I think Mookie Betts rides out the year in Boston, which is kind of dumb for Boston because then you can't trade him and get anything for him. What I'd like to happen is Mookie Betts stays. We find a way to keep him because he's one of the best players in the league, as we've already gone through. I mean, he's an incredible player, and he brings so much to this team, and he's still so young that I'd love to see him keep playing for this team, but if it comes down to the money thing, like, it just looks like as of right now, we really can't pay what he's asking.
All right, so what I think is going to happen and what I want to happen?
Yeah.
I think he gets dealt before spring training. I think he gets traded to a different team.
Do you have a specific team that comes to mind?
I have here, and you can see this, that the Dodgers and the Padres are pretty much the two serious teams interested in him. And I think, now again, this is just what I've seen from social media and like on TV type of thing. I think the Padres are got a slightly better deal going, maybe. I guess not the worst case scenario, because like Dodgers, Padres, a team we'll see once, maybe twice during the regular season. I haven't actually scheduled. But, you know, an NL team, you're not going to see a whole lot, so you don't have to play against him. Of course, what I want to happen, I want him to stay in Boston. Do I think he's worth 12 years, $420 million? I'd say if he plays this year in Boston, plays anywhere close to what he's been playing the last couple of years, I say pay him whatever he wants. Lock him up for 10, 12, maybe not 12 years, maybe like 8 or 10 years, but at his average that he wants or whatever. And lock him up. You're Boston. I don't care if you go over the luxury tax. I can barely speak. We are one of the biggest sports markets in America. Lock him up. Go win a couple more World Series. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it'll definitely, if he sticks around, it'll really depend on what he does this year, where it's kind of this, I don't know how to say it. It's like this perfect alignment of the stars for Mookie Betts, in the sense that he's turned down several kind of similar offers in past years, where it's like we're just not quite meeting the price that he's put on himself, but he just keeps playing better and better, upping his value, upping, you know, his stock. And he's right before free agency, so if he goes through this year and has a good year, I think there's no chance he comes back, only because the money's not there. I don't think it's anything against Boston. There's all these people saying, you know, he hates Boston, he wants out of Boston. He just wants to get paid, and he, you know, he's a businessman. He wants to get what he's worth, and if Boston isn't the place to do it, then he has every right to go out and, you know, get paid somewhere else. Would I love to see him come back? Of course, but it's not like betraying Boston if he goes out to get paid.
I mean, at the end of the day, you bring up a good point. It's a business, so he's gonna look for the best business decision, if you will. But I genuinely don't think he'll even make it to spring training. I was completely serious. Just to give you an idea, he's finished in the top 20 for MVP voting for the last 5 years, and he's finished in the top 10 the last 4 years. Last year, he was 8. The year before that, he won it. The year before that, he was 6th. The year before that, he was 2nd. So, and I mean, he's won a gold glove those last 4 years and a silver slugger 3 out of those 4 years.
Yeah, and quickly moving on, we'll kind of round out baseball here. I watched a video recently from the MLB YouTube channel where they ranked the Red Sox as 16th out of the top 20 teams heading into spring training. I'm just going to go out and say it. I completely disagree with this. As much as the Red Sox didn't have the season they wanted last year, they still have, as it stands, some of the most talented players in all of baseball. If our pitching is healthy and, you know, Mookie Betts is hopefully still around, our bats are where they were the last couple years, I see no problem being a playoff team. And I just hope this becomes the dumbest looking video of all time.
I mean, yeah, 16th out of the top 20, that means you are literally the bottom half of the league if you include all 30 teams. Granted, you said it right, the Red Sox didn't have the greatest year, but with the pieces they have, you gotta be think they'd ranked higher. I don't really care for power rankings, to be honest, unless my team's on top, which I know sounds dumb. So I don't care about this one.
All right, yeah, we'll use that to kind of finish off a very lengthy Red Sox discussion. We'll move in to the Boston Celtics, where Jason Tatum has been named to his first All-Star game. Absolutely incredible to see. He's been doing super well this year. Very emotional for him, saying, you know, this is always, you know, something he's always wanted. He's still so young. I think he's still 21 years old. He's ridiculously good. I mean, he's having an all-star season. So that means Kemba and Jason Tatum are the two Celtics representing the team in the all-star game. Jaylen Brown did not make it, but coming out and saying, you know, he's just super, super excited for Jason Tatum and Kemba to be in the All-Star game. Sad to see him not there because he's had such a good season as well, and probably the best season of his career for Jaylen Brown. But it's a guy that, you know, looking forward, he's going to see the All-Star game.
Oh, absolutely. I honestly a little surprised he didn't make it, but there are so many good players in the NBA. Again, I'm the stats guy apparently this episode. So Jason Tatum, 44 games this year, 21.5 points per game, shooting 43.5% from the field, 36.6 from three, and 84% from the line, averaging just about seven rebounds a game, pardon me. Three assists, steal and a half, two turnovers. So, I mean, yeah, just the leading the team in scoring, I believe. Where's Kemba at? 22. So Kemba is half a point higher. So second on the team in scoring per game. And he's just some incredible players. I mean, he postered Al Horford two nights ago?
Yeah.
Saturday night. And a big win over 76ers. Very well deserved. Biggest snub of the All-Star game, I got to say. Really thought Taco Fall was going to be there. Really hoped Taco Fall.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. He has not seen enough NBA time. It's crazy that he got the votes that he did, though.
Yeah, no, this is definitely one of those things where, like, if it happened, I almost wonder what the NBA would do. Like, would they even allow it?
Devin Booker was for getting stumped. Imagine, like, Taco Fall's the reason you don't make it.
Oh, that'd be incredible, though. The sad thing is, like, until Taco Fall sees, like, a full NBA season and then plays out of his mind in said season, I don't think this is going to be a thing that, like, you see every year where there's a big resurgence of Taco Fall votes.
I think it was
kind of like a one-off thing. Which would have been very funny, but unfortunate that we didn't see Taco making it to the All-Star game. I would have loved to see it.
You know, you mentioned Jaylen Tatum. Wow.
Yep. The best player Jaylen on Brown. The team.
Yeah. Imagine.
Dude.
You saw, you know, Jaylen Brown not making the All-Star game. Marcus Smart, in my opinion, could have been up there. He's playing extremely well. You know, we saw Gordon Hayward with some votes, didn't make the All-Star game as well, but I don't know when the break this coming week? Not like this week, but the next week.
Hold on, I gotta look at this.
No, it's 2 weeks. I don't really know. 2 weeks. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's
it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's in 2 weeks from now. So
it's like the 14th through the 21st.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. They're 21st, like, so their last game is the 13th, and then they pick up again on the 21st. So a nice break, get some rest, recovery, have some fun at the All-Star game if you're going. But if you look at this in a bigger picture, it's incredible to see the fact that we're talking about, what, five or six Celtics here, one of them being Taco Fall, but five or six Celtics that are, like, seriously, you can make a solid argument for as an All-Star candidate.
Maybe not Marcus Smart and Gordon Hayward. They have been playing great, and Gordon Hayward has been playing incredible over his last 7, 8, 9 games, but there are better players in the league as of right now. But if we're throwing around five or six names, not many other teams could do that.
No, not at all. That just speaks to the depth of this Celtics team, and really exciting moving forward. We got, like what you said, 2 more weeks of just solid NBA action before the All-Star break. So hopefully get ourselves in a good position, sitting currently at third tied with the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference, trailing behind the Raptors by 2 games and 8.5 games behind the first place Milwaukee Bucks, who just, I mean, continue to be incredible. The Raptors really doing a lot recently on an 11-game win streak, tying their franchise record. I only know because I saw that this morning on the news. But
interesting.
I mean, this Celtics team, so much fun to watch when I have taken the time to sit down and watch the game. And I think, you know, possesses the strength to move forward and, like, the talent to move forward.
Oh, there's no question that this is a postseason team. It's just about how deep they're going to go in the postseason. And for that,
we'll have to wait a little while.
You got to finish out the regular season first.
Yeah.
That being said, before we kick it to the other half of the TD Garden, a quick word from a sponsor. Now into the other half of the TD Garden in the Boston Bruins, who just came off their All-Star break. We talked about that last week. But they have played two games since coming back with two wins, so 2-0.
Yep.
Defeating the Winnipeg Jets 2-1, and most recently the Minnesota Wild 6-1. That was a very dominant game. I think they scored something like 3 or 4 power play goals in that one. Pastrnak had a goal. Torrey Krug had 5 points. Marchand had a goal. So just overall dominant victory there. I couldn't be more happy. I was like a little lost without a week of hockey to watch. Hockey is quickly becoming the sport that I look forward to watching the most. So that week off, week and a half off without them was a little tough. I went through and counted this morning. There are 29 games left in the regular season. The Bruins are currently sitting at third in the league, but first in the Atlantic Division. Second in the league, just behind the Washington Capitals by 1 point. So doing their thing, and if they come out of this All-Star break and they go on a run, it's going to be no looking back for the Bruins.
Yeah, like we said before, we've talked about this at length. They just need to keep their head down, keep grinding for the last 29 games of the season, get themselves in the best position for the playoffs. I mean, they've looked really good, and it was fun to see that Minnesota game where they just looked like such a dominant hockey team. That was a game where they were executing well on every level. I mean, putting up 6, letting in 1. We'll have to see what the deal is with Tuukka Rask, because he's been kind of in and out still, coming back from that concussion. So hopefully we can get him just in peak form coming down the stretch. And just looking forward to how this team does. You know, with football being over, which we'll talk about in a second, and, you know, baseball around the corner, I mean, it's Bruins and Celtics for now, man. And it's exciting. It's wonderful that it's two just incredible teams that we get to watch, and I'm really excited again, just looking forward to the postseason, seeing how this Bruins team can do.
Yeah, I think that doesn't do it for hockey. That pretty much does it for the Bruins after they're coming off the All-Star break. You know, we don't have a whole lot to talk about. Expect more lengthy coverage next week. But James, are you going to tell me what the Battle of Alberta means? You just kind of put that in here.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I put this in the prep because the Battle of Alberta, for those of you who don't know, is...
I'm going to go with the hockey thing and not like...
The long-standing rivalry between the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames. Basically, they just hate each other a whole lot. And
love it.
Every time they get together, there's some beef. And this past game, I believe it took place on the 29th. Was just insane. There was one point where everyone was just matched up with a player just fighting them, and it got to the point where the Edmonton goalie came out of his crease, came to just the middle of the ice, just took his gloves off and sat there, waited for the Calgary goalie to skate out to him, and then beat just the living crap out of him, just destroyed the Calgary Flames goalie, and just it was insane to watch. It's really talked about because it's, you know, obviously here in Canada, but it's one of those things that just gets you, like, you want that rivalry with a team so bad, and you kind of want that back. We haven't seen it as much with the Bruins this season. There's been a couple of good fights here and there, but I think if you know we see a good series against like the Leafs coming up or something, that'd be really fun to watch.
Especially going into the playoffs. To give some background, because I just looked it up, the Edmonton Oilers ended up losing that game that you're referring to. It was in the 29th, 4-3 in a shootout. They then went on to beat the St. Louis Blues, who are the top team in the Western Conference, I believe. Yeah, or Western Division. I don't know. What do they call them?
I have no clue.
Western Conference. So they went on to beat the... And then they came back Saturday night, and they beat the Flames 8-3.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this has potential to go even deeper, because you're looking at two teams right now with Edmonton sitting at 5th in the West and Calgary sitting at 7th in the West. They're separated by 2 points. And, I mean, they see each other probably 3 or 4 times a year. I don't know exactly how the hockey schedules work. This isn't going anywhere, and that could be a very interesting playoff matchup if it comes out like that.
Yeah, and you said they played each other on Saturday?
So they played Wednesday and then Saturday, yeah.
Okay, so maybe Saturday is when this all went down to just make sure I didn't get it.
That would make more sense maybe in kind of a blowout. That's when tensions start to get a little high.
Yeah. Anyways, just thought I'd bring it up. Hopefully we can see some beef with another team with the Bruins. It's weird to wish, like, fighting with your team, but it just makes it so much more fun to watch.
If we get a series against the Canadiens, we should, well, I don't know. I was going to say we should go to Montreal, but we might die.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll move on from Montreal, believe me. Move into the Patriots, more broadly football, but we are going to start off with just, I don't know how to describe this other than Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things off the football field. So last night, Tom Brady, actually, we're going to backtrack here even farther. Couple days ago, Tom Brady posts a picture on Instagram. It's like his silhouette walking. You can't really tell if it's in or out of a tunnel towards a football field, away from a football field. Everyone freaked out, said Brady's retiring, Brady's leaving, whatever. Fast forward to the Super Bowl, and during a commercial, it's you realize it's Tom Brady, and it's a clip that you realize that picture he posted on Instagram was cut from. And so it's this whole commercial of him, you know, saying, like, I want to thank everyone, and basically just sounds like he's going to retire. Switches up, is a Hulu commercial, just talks about Hulu for a minute, and then at the very end, it goes, into my fans, I want to let you know, I'm not going anywhere. And I could not have been more excited by that.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you my interaction with the commercial, and then I think we can... We've been very clearly, if you haven't noticed, staying away from all the Brady talks, mostly because I think both of us have the same mindset, and I don't know that we need to bring it up now or talk about it, but we really don't care. Kind of, not that we don't care, it's that we don't want to listen to all the noise, I guess.
Yeah.
That being said, my friend warned me about it kind of thing. Like, he told me it was an ad, and basically, like, he isn't leaving. Leaving the NFL, that is. I don't really... Looking into it a little bit, I don't think it means he's 100% staying with the Patriots, whatever, but that's another conversation. So I knew what was coming. But the second, like, the first four or five lines, I think, are him saying, like, you know, like, the best players know when it's time to quit, da-da-da-da-da. And then, like you said, like, he wanted to thank all his fans and everything. And I still was, like, nervous. Like, I knew what was coming.
Yeah, so I was a little nervous. How I found out was in this group chat that I'm in, someone said, I'm not going anywhere, and, like, a bunch of eye emojis, and then said something, something Brady. So I just kind of, like, looked up Tom Brady's Instagram, found the video, and just watched it. And I was the same thing as you. Like, I heard what it was saying, and I was like, is he just going to retire? Like, is he not going anywhere because he's going to be a coach or something in the NFL? Like, I was still edge of my seat, almost knowing what's going to happen. But, yeah, so I don't know if we want to dig into this anymore because we're basically just becoming what we said we wanted to avoid.
No, I think I can do it in, like, three sentences.
I just want to say more broadly, he isn't retiring. He hasn't guaranteed where he's going.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And then lastly, if Tom Brady's past or his interactions with the media over his career have told us anything, like, don't listen to anyone right now who's like, Brady's in talks with it. Brady is not going to decide till well after the football season. I can guarantee you right now he is spending as much time with his family and friends as possible. And his contract or where he's playing next year is not in the forefront of his mind.
Yeah, and I want to quickly dive into a couple other things off of that. First of all, it reminded me of just the all-time Tom Brady commercials that he's been in. This isn't the first time he's done something of this caliber around the Super Bowl. My personal favorite being a couple years ago, it's like a Shields MRI commercial, and they're like asking him to take off all of his jewelry, so he puts all of his rings in this storage, like a little storage bin there. And they go, is that all of them? Oh, wait, I actually have one more. This one's kind of new. And this commercial aired maybe like 5 minutes after the Patriots had beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
No way, really?
Yeah, that was a thing that happened. Am I the only one that remembers
this? I didn't even see that commercial.
Okay, well, it was an all-time, I don't know if it was actually against the Falcons, but it was either that or the Seahawks, where it was just like, oh, I just got this one. It's kind of new to me. And this aired immediately after the Patriots won the Super Bowl. Like, wow, the level. All
that, paying him, and I guess they just cut that clip if they don't win, but still, like.
Yeah.
It's a bold move.
That's a, and that seems like a very anti-Brady, like, it doesn't seem like he'd go out there and do something like that, but it made for an all-time moment.
Dude, Hulu must have paid him a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That doesn't matter. Do you want to talk about the actual Super Bowl now?
I guess. So I'm going to quickly, we'll go into it. So the Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid winning their first Super Bowl in 50 years in a 31-20 victory over the San Francisco, we don't know how to hold a lead, 49ers. Quickly looking back at our predictions, I said Chiefs 35, Niners 27. Nicholas said Niners 31, Chiefs 24. You were definitely closer on the numbers.
Score, but I picked the
minus the wrong team.
Probably, yeah.
Anyways, so Pat Mahomes winning MVP. I'm not going to dive into this too much because before this episode started, you looked back at our previous year's post-Super Bowl episode, and it was an hour long, and yeah, I guarantee you almost all of that was football, and we really down that road again. So Pat Mahomes wins MVP. I'm not honestly sold on that. That's my thoughts. Congratulations to Andy Reid, the Big Red, winning his first Super Bowl. In just all-time Andy Reid fashion, I saw this morning where he said he's going to eat the biggest cheeseburger of all time to celebrate. Man,
yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me. Can I just say, before we like get into the actual game, it was weird. I probably watched a quarter and a half.
Okay.
I watched the end of the second quarter and most of the fourth quarter. Mostly because I didn't care. It was so weird in the fourth quarter where you have an actual, for a while there, you had an actual game where Kansas City kind of ran away with it. And I was trying to think of the last time this happened. And I wasn't nervous. My heart wasn't beating. I was just literally like, I was like a third party, like watching, like, and I had nothing riding on the game, like winner, loser, like anything. I mean,
because you were a third party watching the game, nothing riding on it. But
exactly. Okay. Well,
Yeah.
Okay. It was just weird watching a Super Bowl and not having like a roller coaster of emotions the entire time.
I mean, that just speaks to our privilege as Boston fans.
It's stupid. And I was trying to think, and I'm literally looking at past bowls right now. The last three the Patriots were in, so felt it in all of those. And then the one before that was Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos and the Panthers. I didn't even watch that one because I didn't want Peyton Manning to win it.
I watched part of it, but
so that didn't happen, and then like the Seattle one definitely happened. So it's been a good like 5 years since I've watched a Super Bowl and had like just no emotion or no nervousness or no like excitement going into it. So that was like a weird feeling.
Yeah, I agree. I was kind of in the same vein. I caught just the second half of the game. I was busy for the first half. And it was, I wanted the Niners to win. I said that before on this podcast. And I was, you know, rooting for them the entire time. And coming down the stretch, it looked like they were one drive away from just sealing the game. And they couldn't do it. And, you know, they gave the most dynamic offense in the NFL this year the chance and the opportunity to come back. And that's what they did. And, so we get to endure the next however many months of, you know, Pat Mahomes goat talk because as aired on TSN, the, you know, sports center for up north here, they're making all these comparisons where Patrick Mahomes is now the youngest player to ever win MVP and a Super Bowl. And he's also the youngest player to win Super Bowl MVP, I believe, and he just beat out Brady for that by like 100 days.
Great.
So we get to hear it for the rest of time. My favorite part of this whole Super Bowl was all of the prop bets that went along with it, and then watching reactions to said prop bets. The two biggest ones being... The two biggest ones being the length of the national anthem, and I believe the over-under was like 158 or 2 minutes.
I think it was over 2 minutes. It was like 122 seconds, 122 and a half seconds or something like that.
Okay. And the other one being the color of the Gatorade, which was a underdog, orange winning this year, coming in at plus 400. So if you gambled on the color of the Gatorade in the Super Bowl, go get some help because you have an addiction. for all seriousness, the underdog, orange, soaking Andy Reid far too early, in my opinion, with like a minute and a half left in the game.
Really?
Yeah, so they picked off, you know, Jimmy G to seal the game. They got 50 seconds on the clock, so they need to basically run a couple plays, get a first down, or what they ended up doing was Patrick Mahomes would just kind of run back and forth and then knee it to kind of burn more clock, and then the last play... on like a fourth down, he dropped back as far as he could and then just launched the ball in the air. So they didn't.
I literally shut it off after the interception because I knew that it was over.
Which was crazy because Andy Reid actually fought clock management and won. But yes, they dumped Gatorade on him so early, in my opinion. Like, they didn't wait till 0 seconds left, like minute and left in the game.
So was it before? Did they dump it on him before or after that touchdown?
After the touchdown, because then Jimmy G got
picked. Before the interception?
No, after the interception, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember it exactly, but it, in my mind, it just struck me as being way too early. Anyways, we're going to move along, because somehow we've managed to talk about this for an okay amount of time, which we said we weren't going to do. We're going to finish on a strange topic here, which has taken just the internet and media by storm. The Super Bowl halftime show, which I didn't watch, and apparently, according to most people on the internet, supposedly missed out on and sparked a lot of very strange tweets from what I found.
I did watch it, and now I know you're not going to like me for, like, breaking this down, but you don't have a choice because I'm the only one here who watched it. First off, gotta say this. And this goes for pretty much all the Super Bowl halftime shows, regardless of what you think, the actual performance with all the moving parts and dancers and, you know, wardrobe changes and set changes or whatever, it's incredible that they can get that down to a T. Like, that is just not something I can comprehend. So, like, from all moving parts perspective, very impressive from, like, what these people are able to do, like, regardless of past Super Bowl halftime shows. Second thing, don't let the lack of clothing on Shakira and J-Lo blind you from the fact that it really wasn't that good.
Everyone was freaking out.
It was just them showing a lot of skin, which, I mean, hey, power to you. They looked great, whatever. But, like, they're clearly lip-singing. Like, I don't know. It's just I was trying to think, like, who would do, like, a great halftime show, right?
No one. I thought they've brought out the best of the best in the past, and like maybe I'm just more interested in the football, but like none of the halftime shows I've seen recently, like the music was good and the sets and choreography and everything was good, in my opinion. And maybe I'm being like way too critical. I have no comprehension for what that's like, obviously. But for me, it just seems like I just want to get back to watching football. That's that.
Yeah, and I mean, just, I feel like they do too many theatrics. Like, it's too, like, in your face, like, with fireworks and what they wear. And, I mean, Katy Perry a couple of years ago rode on a 50-foot tall lion.
Yeah, it's insane.
And to your point, like, no one could do a good halftime show. And I think you're right, because it would be more about the show than actually, like, the music and who's performing.
Yeah, I don't know. So, to a halftime show. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think this is the first year, maybe, you correct me if this is true, where you can go back and you can watch the full halftime show. I'm sure you can do it in other years, but I think the NFL actually like has a thing that's the full halftime show if you missed it.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't care enough to go back and look at any of the past ones. You don't. I care. I look at the Super Bowl highlights, and those never include the halftime show, believe it or not. But yeah, I mean,
crazy.
to a halftime show that almost got a lot of men in America in trouble with just about anyone. Hats off to you. You gave some funny tweets. Giannis, I'll have to look up what he said. I don't know why I didn't do this earlier. A lot of interesting just interactions on social media. We'll see.
I wasn't really on Twitter during the game, so I didn't get to see many. I'll have to scroll through today and be enlightened by what I can only imagine. I just saw a lot of memes of like Shakira when she like went up to the camera and like.
Oh, you just made noises.
Yeah.
Something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I have Twitter open in the background. God, Giannis said something.
And obviously, this is like we're being hypercritical because it's pretty easy for two people who have no comprehension of anything to break this down, both sitting at their desks, like in their houses / apartments / whatever James lives in, prison
hole. Yard.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
So we're being hypercritical, but like it's pretty much fact that in the past years, and I don't know what the reaction is this year, but like people aren't that big a fan of the halftime show.
Yeah, I don't know. Giannis just said halftime show almost got me in trouble. So I guess that was less than what I thought it was.
What does it even mean?
I think, who knows?
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, I think that's going to do it for just about everything. NFL, Patriots, Super Bowl. Yeah, the NFL season's over, and like I say this every time, it goes so fast. It's going to be a long off season, but as we're kind of, you know, panning out here, looking at the show and sports as a whole, we got baseball right around the corner. The Bruins are in, like, the stretch to the playoffs. Celtics are just about to that point with the stretch to the playoffs, and it's exciting. I'm sad to see football go, and we'll have to put up with all the speculation and is Gronk coming back or whoever, whatever. I don't care.
Oh, I gotta look up highlights from Gronk Beach.
Gronk Beach. Bill Belichick went to Gronk Beach.
Bill Belichick did go to Gronk Beach.
We wasted.
He also flashed three of his Super Bowl rings like on TV because they brought out like Belichick, Brady, and Gronk and a couple of like past Patriots because it was like the NFL 100.
Yep. And anyways, we wasted enough of your time with Gronk Beach last week, so we'll forego
that for now. Crazy. If you, by some miracle, if you are a listener and you went to Gronk Beach, send all the videos. I gotta know.
Like I said, we somehow managed to waste more of your time with Gronk Beach. That's gonna do it. We got a lot of exciting sports coming down. Coming down the line, coming in future weeks. Sad to see football go, but we got a whole off season to see what happens. And then once it gets down to it, get excited for the next Patriots team. That is going to do it for this show. Thank you so much for listening. If you did enjoy it or if you didn't, either way, leave a rating. Let us know how we're doing. Leave a comment, anything on whatever platform you are listening on. Let us know how we're doing. And subscribe to the podcast on also whatever podcast listening platform you use. That way it shows up every week. You don't have to go searching for it. Boom. It's just there, right, available to you. Nicholas, I'll let you do the social medias.
Yeah, just to reiterate what you said, kind of the subscribing thing, it also will send you, I know on that sends you a notification when there's a new episode out. So it's usually a little late. Twitter's still the best way to know right when the podcast goes up. But, you know, Apple Podcasts will send a notification if you do subscribe. That being said, if you want to follow us on social medias, the Twitters are Brady Bros Nick for me, James_B_Boston for James. The Instagram is Brady Bros Boston. The YouTube is Brady Bros. And if you like watching two young men getting their dreams crushed in Montreal, I recommend you go over there. That video is going to be out soon. Interesting weekend, to say the least. But yes, thank you guys all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we will see you next week, same time. See ya.